point, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink filmmakers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, find them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man. Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Mighty. Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us out of possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight?
Look who showed up.
I know.
It's nice to have him here.
I
was very comfortable with here.
We're here at Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 291.
That's right.
Humbling Scapegoat.
No.
Is what we're calling it.
Silly goose.
Ouch.
No?
That
no.
hurts the soul.
No, it's OG to Scapegoat. F you. If you listened to last week's episode.
It's we're calling it Singer to Whedon. F you.
There. See, that's much
and,
more.
And we'll get to what that's all about when we get to the news.
Sure.
Yes, Scapegoat has returned.
He has.
I have. Yeah.
Look, we all have issues. It's okay. I don't
stranded,
hold it against him.
Stranded in New York City.
See? He was stranded.
It's a terrible, terrible place to be, really.
Uh-huh.
No joking. Mass transportation in and out of the city.
No. Nope.
No. Not like
exist.
A bus stop a block away. I'm
no.
just saying.
No.
I'm just putting it out there.
There's no bus. There's no train. I don't understand.
Nothing.
It all shuts down at midnight. It's almost like Boston or
it's
something.
It's terrible.
That's
city.
Right. I am dissing Boston.
That's all right. You're allowed to.
Yeah.
I don't like Boston.
I don't understand.
Daniel Hall. That's about it.
That's what I was about to say. Daniel Hall's pretty good.
That's about it.
Other than that,
it's like it is what it is.
True.
Okay.
It's exciting to be back.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
It's
I know,
okay.
I was gravely missed.
You were.
Although there's now you have nothing to make fun of me with for at least another couple of minutes.
Really? How many tweets?
I said minutes. I said minutes. Oh, we did it in seconds already. All right.
Yeah.
There's plenty of tweet views coming up. I'm just looking for you guys to kind of reach out. We're still trying to hit 100 in 9 episodes, right?
Listen.
I said triple digits.
Listen, you're not going to hit 100 without putting anything out.
You're right.
Put some tweet views,
things will
sir.
Be put out.
I easily got you.
I put out pretty easily.
27, 28. You do put out easily, as we've heard.
If you spend $1,000.
That's it. That's cheap by streetwalks,
yeah.
Right? Well, why don't we just move forward?
Or if you're at the G.I. Joe show this Friday at
that's
the
right.
Bourbon Vinyl.
I don't know. That might be expensive. We'll see.
$1,000? That'll be cheap.
I don't know. There are some unscrupulous people that are going to be there.
Oh, yeah?
In all likelihood.
Really?
Yeah.
Mr.
Benny.
Monk is going to be
there? Benny's a little, you know.
Benny's not unscrupulous.
No, Benny's lovely. Benny is mostly lovely.
Blink? Blink going to be there?
Blink will be there.
Okay, that's good.
We've settled on Blink now.
I'm gonna be there. Are you gonna be there?
I'm pretty positive I'm gonna be there.
I don't know when I'm gonna be.
I'm gonna be
early.
Late.
I hope to be there earlier than later.
I think you should tell the people what you're talking about.
This is, of course, sure. This is, of course, the Suburban Vinyl, Loyal Subjects, Tenacious Toys, Hasbro, G.I. Joe Custom Show, of course, is based on the new licensed product. It's not really a DIY, but it's a platform toy, G.I. Joe platform toy. And what Loyal Subjects and Hasbro has done is they've gotten 30-plus artists to take those toys and customize them. Some of the images I've seen are sort of G.I. Joe related. Some of them are not so much G.I. Joe related, but that's all okay. It's all part of the spirit of the project. And some of the stuff I've seen looks really cool.
Remember Mighty Mugs?
I do remember Mighty Mugs.
Moving on.
Yes. You know, did you see that Kid Robot has a Marvel license?
Yes.
Now? We'll talk about that. I'll save that for product.
All right.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Where to start? There's so many things. I could talk about things I'm angry about. I could talk about Arrested Development.
Well, I'm coming in with a clean slate today, so any anger that spews forth from me is coming from you.
Okay, well, then I'm going to do my own quick, just I have to address this, because it's something that's been really bothering me.
Okay.
We've talked about the geek mudgeons on the show before, the people who just cannot find joy in anything at all anymore. Yeah. So,
I like to call them, Toy Break.
Or Trekkies.
No, come on.
What?
They love most things.
Just kidding.
George is a little cynical.
Are you going to bring up Star Trek?
No, I'm not.
I've heard enough of...
No, actually...
Hold on, OG. Heard enough of what? I mean, you didn't hear me talk about Star Trek, did you?
Oh, I have, for hours.
I'm just saying because you couldn't be bothered to show up last week.
Well, I've heard the uncensored director's cut version.
Yeah.
Oh, there was no censoring last week.
It's long. It's long.
But, you know, talking about that real quick, a lot of people don't agree with you.
That's okay.
Which is all I'm saying.
No one has to agree with me.
Sure.
You cannot deny the logic of my argument, but that doesn't mean you have to agree with it.
Right.
Fair enough.
Pace the English white guy, North Indian Sikh. That's it. I mean, it should end right there.
Yes.
But then I go, you know, I have other points.
Right. The 85 billion sins in movie X videos, have you seen these?
No.
Every single modern movie, and by modern I mean the last maybe let's say 7 or 8 years, that's geek sci-fi kind of related.
Uh-huh.
Like, the last one I saw was something like 800,000 sins of Green Lantern, which someone figured out if you broke out the number of minutes in Green Lantern and divided it by the number of sins in this fan-made
sins.
Thing.
How are we defining sins? Like
things that they disagree with.
Like errors?
No. Yeah. But errors can mean anything.
Yeah,
errors
can
mean I hate this movie because, and this is an error.
Right.
Scapegoat, let me give you an example. If you cast a pasty English white guy
as a North Indian,
North Indian Sikh.
But
Ben Kingsley was unavailable, okay? I don't know what you knew about that.
He was doing many other movies.
Too old.
But it's just gotten out of control. It's every single movie.
Yeah.
And if you're not making a blah, blah, blah sins in movie X video, you're talking about how Doctor Who is blatantly racist or how...
But isn't that true?
Or how XXX is blatantly sexist or how...
Anything with XXX in the title usually is sexist.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just gotten out of control. There's just no joy. Most people can find no joy anymore.
Well, you know, I think it's people feel they want to be a part of something, and if they're not hanging out with each other talking about how something is awesome, they're alone talking about how it sucks.
It's just the
because that'll garner
mentality.
The most responses. You know what I mean?
I spread the things that I don't like out to everybody, but so that I'm not alone.
It's just gotten to the point where everybody has a problem with everything, and it's like. All the ridiculous sexist blogs that I had to read this past week about the Alice Eve scene in Star Trek and how J.J. Abrams hates women and how it's
really
retarded. It's so disgusting.
He's one of the only directors that actually has strong, pretty, sort of three-dimensional female characters in any of his movies except Joss Whedon.
They're the only two directors doing it.
I don't understand that. One scene in their underwear, but come on.
A friend of the show, she runs a blog, it's the Total Fangirl blog, Nicole Wakelin. We've talked about her, we've met her, we've hung out with her at plenty of parties in New York City.
We have?
She's a good person.
Is it someone I should remember?
Probably. You've met her a half a dozen billion times.
Okay.
She was a breath of fresh air in this thing, and she came out and said, look, it's just not the case. Just stop. And it was so refreshing to read that. So find her post online and read it, and take solace in knowing that not everybody is completely corrupted.
That's good.
Let's move on from that.
That's it. I just wanted to point it out. Everybody hates. It's getting ridiculous.
I just want to point out the number 800,000 sins in Green Lantern is just a ridiculous number. Like, it was clearly way more than that. I'm just saying.
No, it was one. And it was, yes, we greenlight this.
Yes, we made Green Lantern.
That's the one
sin. Yes, we cast Ryan Reynolds.
Starting with Ryan Reynolds. I mean, that was
look, I like Ryan Reynolds.
I like Ryan Reynolds a lot. Actually, I'm really looking forward to
Turbo?
R.I.P.D.
Oh, yeah, R.I.P.D. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Really?
I like... I do not. I am not looking forward to that movie.
I
am, but Turbo looks adorable.
I'm just as excited about seeing, what's his name, the dude reprise his role as Rooster Cogburn. But
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. But no, I think what they tried to do was they tried to make a flippant superhero movie in the DC universe, a la Iron Man, and it just didn't.
It just didn't work.
No.
Wrong character, perhaps.
I agree.
Right to do character, that way. But I mean, it was definitely like
a mess.
It was never going to work. No. I mean, they're trying to copy a formula that they don't have the characters to copy it with.
Sure.
And they could have done better.
They could.
Marvel
have done
doesn't
better.
Have the formula to do it, but they figured it out.
Well, you know, DC. The only thing DC has going for them, it would seem, is the animated movies.
Yeah. They did.
They did.
I'm a big fan. Look, I like Justice League. I like Batman Beyond. I like Batman the Original Series. Sure. All that stuff. Great, really quality.
All the modern movies,
exactly.
Right, for the most part, have been really good.
Absolutely. All really good. Even the Green Lantern one where they had Nathan Fillion.
Yes.
Dark Knight, two-parter.
Dark Knight,
that
two-parter.
That was really good.
Excellent.
Year One was great. Yeah. Bryan Cranston. They were all really good. And then I saw Superman Unbound.
Uh-oh.
Well, that, you know what? That smacks of the other Superman animated, the one that you and I were discussing, the one that had Kevin Smith in it, and he's fighting
the
robotic spider.
The toy maker or whatever it was.
I can't remember what that one was.
I like that one.
With the Japanese kid you're talking about?
That was Doomsday, wasn't it?
Are you talking about the one with the, they have to find the Japanese kid who makes...
It was the one where was it Lex Luthor shoots the girl
shoots
in
the
office point
in the
blank
office
in the head?
Blank.
Right.
That was the scene. In the
that wasn't
the
that terrible.
No, I like that. I was fine
no,
with that
it was
one.
Okay. This movie is just really... Matt Bomer, I think that's his name.
Now, that you're referring to the new Superman.
Yes, I'm referring to the new
Unbound.
One. Matt Bomer is the voice of Superman, which doesn't really make any sense to me. He's the guy in white collar, the really pretty gentleman, if you will. Stanya Kotchik, however you pronounce... Yeah, he is, yeah. Whatever her name is in Castle, you may know her from.
She's Lois, correct?
She's Lois, right. Then there's a bunch of other assorted voices that you're like, oh, that's the guy from that thing.
Yeah.
It's just really not well done and doesn't really make
Clancy
any sense.
Is Brown in there somewhere?
Is
Clancy
this,
Brown always shows up.
He always shows up in some capacity. Yeah. What else is he doing? Was it the animation that wasn't bad? Was it
the
story
animation,
that wasn't bad?
The animation was fine, although it felt like, It went. There's blood in it,
right?
But it felt like Justice League style, where it was like all the other ones got darker. Batman's a character to get dark with,
right?
But this one was like, no, it's bright and sunny. Why are you tearing people's limbs off?
Right.
There's just a lot of things that don't make any sense. Plus, the story, it's about Brainiac. I haven't read the graphic novel arc that this is clearly ripped from, so I apologize.
Right.
But it just doesn't really make any sense. He defeats him in the weirdest way. You don't really have a sense of how powerful he is. Supergirl's in it for no reason. it's supposed to like explore what is home and what is knowledge, and it doesn't do any of those things well. It's just kind of a mess. I mean, see it if you like.
Yeah.
I guess.
I hope
you know,
this
I caught
the
it.
Beginning of the
it's,
end.
I hope not. I mean, everything else has been really top quality except for the voice acting in the last. We were talking about Dark Knight. The last one, I don't understand that voice acting choice. But other than that, everything else has been good. This one, not so much. The trailer for the Flashpoint came out, and it looks kind of promising. So maybe this is just a fluke, you know?
I hope so.
I hope so.
It reminds me of Rocky IV when he cuts Ivan Drago, and what's his name? The corner guy goes, "You see, he bleeds. He's just a man."
I don't know. I just it's a weird. It just has no anything at
all
in it.
I probably won't see it.
It's not a rewarding.
Honest, so.
There's nothing about it. I mean, you know Superman's invincible. But
I wouldn't see it anyway
it
based on the
matter.
Fact that it's Superman.
That's really
speaking
it for
of
me.
Things with Superman that I want to see.
Yeah.
Man of Steel.
We're supposed to open with trailers now. Remember we decided
well,
to do
well,
that?
Just...
We need to do that coming attraction stinger thing.
Yes, but we didn't really
Let's
have a lot of trailers this week.
Lobby.
I mean, we kind of
Let's
talked about Man of Steel trailer
lobby.
Last week a little bit.
Let's all go to the lobby. No. And get ourselves a snack.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Man of Steel trailer. My thoughts.
The new one, right? The viral,
the new one,
this is General Zod.
Yeah. I'm going to give you my thought, and then you can chime in.
All right.
Because I kind of shared my thought a little bit last week.
Hold on. In your version, was James, what's his name? I can't remember the actor's name. This joke would have worked.
It would have. It would have, but it didn't.
Damn it.
Oh, you fail. You get nothing.
I'm a prohibition officer.
You know. Edward G. Robinson. Ha. In your version, was Edward G. Robinson playing?
He is.
This is General Zod, see?
Yeah, shame. Yeah, yeah.
All right, Kappa.
Yes.
Yours. So it's looking less and less like a Superman movie, but it's making me want to see it more and more.
Right? Yeah,
that's my thought.
That's the problem. And I totally, for maybe the first time ever, OG and I are in complete agreement about this. That movie looks awesome. What it doesn't look like is a good Superman movie.
Right.
That's not Superman's story the way I understand it. You know, everyone knows he's Superman. He's in hiding as Superman. Like, that's what the bulk of the story looks like it is.
I don't know.
You know what, though? It's interesting because we haven't seen it yet.
Right, obviously.
So hopefully,
it's all speculation.
All speculation. But if it makes me want to see it, I'm totally fine with that. Yes, there's an essence of like, listen, you can't do that. On the other hand, how tired is everyone of origin stories? Everyone knows where Superman comes from. So if we change that up for the cinematic universe,
sure.
I'm not really that upset.
Unless it
betrays the idea of the character.
Well,
my problem is
that I just don't associate Superman with this dark and dirty undertaking. Superman is the light to Batman's dark. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Metropolis
Ying
and Gotham. Well, but Metropolis and Gotham are kind of
right.
You know, the opposite side of
course.
The same page. So
experience.
So this is like Batman Superman. Do you know what I mean? This is like dark Superman. So it's weird. And
Nolan.
I think I'm really interested. Yeah. I think I'm really interested in seeing Zod more than I am in seeing Superman.
I've heard, and I don't remember where I read this. This was an interview with someone working on that really, there's a lot of, you know what it was? It was a preview audience talking about it. The trailers don't really show what the movie's really about. So there's a lot of hints to dark and that kind of thing, but it's not like that.
It's not
a Nolan movie.
Fair enough.
Is what they said. And that there's a lot of action sequences you've got a really small taste of, and none of the other trailers did that.
Right.
It was like this dark, like sweeping, you know, opera music in the background stuff.
Blowing.
And then all of a sudden, a bunch of crazy action sequences happen in this one. So
right.
We really don't know what the movie is, but it makes me want to see it. And I'm actually seeing that as a thing in trailers now. They're not giving away the entire movie.
Thank God.
I'm very happy about
yes.
this. I don't know what that was. I want to see it. That's the idea of a trailer.
The other
so thank you, movie studios, for getting your stuff together.
The other thing that I've heard is that people are comparing the design of a movie to that very popular video game all the kids play now.
Quantum Justice?
No.
Halo?
No. Spacey one?
Dead Space?
No. Close. Very, very popular.
Mass Effect?
Mass Effect.
Mass
yeah.
Effect. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, the General Zod suit and that kind of
thing. Yeah,
I see that.
And I guess the ships look
that.
Very similar also, so...
All right.
Yeah, I
so
heard
that's,
a lot about
that's what
that
they're appealing to, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, this was in development. I don't know.
We don't know.
You know what? The point is that this is a trailer that finally makes me want to see this movie, not because I have to see this movie,
right?
But because I'm actually
you're generally interested.
I
want to
go
in
see that in IMAX. I don't know what it's going on. I mean, unless it's Superman 2.
I will agree.
But who knows? We'll find out.
Yeah, soon enough,
and
right.
We'll talk all about it.
Let's go on to Arrested Development.
All right, let's do that.
Do you want? Big F, do you watch Arrested Development? Did you watch the first three seasons?
Yeah, I did, and now I'm actually rewatching them
before you watch it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay, so you haven't seen any of the new stuff yet?
I have not. I've seen 1 through 3. I don't really remember what was going on, so
right.
I said, I'll recap. You know what? They're short. Let me just do 1 through 3 again.
So the reviews have not been stellar.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
But I think the reviews have not been stellar because it's not the same show.
Right.
It's
okay.
Still a really good show.
That's what I've heard.
It's still much better than 90% of the other dreck on television. But it's not the same show.
Okay.
I think, and I don't think this is really spoilery. If you know anything about Arrested Development season 4, you've kind of heard that they've been doing these like character-centric episodes.
Right.
So you have like a couple episodes about George Sr., about Michael, about George Michael, Tobias, et cetera, right?
Yep.
I think what made Arrested Development really work so well was the family dynamic and how they really played off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not getting that in these new episodes. You're getting these individual characters playing off of new people and new things. And so you know, like George Michael is quirky, but he's not quirky with Maybe and Job. You know what I mean?
But why would they? Is this like a reality of them having to shoot it kind of thing?
I think so.
You think they had a limitation in the production end? And well, this is all supposed to be a predecessor to the movie, right? Isn't this supposed to people just get excited and introduce the characters?
I mean, the movie is still, you know, the movie is still like out in space somewhere.
I thought they greenlit both, and this was the lead up.
That's what they've been saying.
Yeah, but again, but it's like the movie. If you remember, the movie was greenlit well before Amazon Netflix. Before the Netflix deal, and then all of a sudden the show swooped in with season four, and then it was like, okay, well, we hope it's season four in a movie, and then but is the movie going to happen? And what's so?
I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they had a limitation and they couldn't get everybody back together at the same time in the same place.
So what I'm going to say is, if you haven't seen it yet, but you're basing your opinion just on the criticism, watch it.
Okay.
It's not the same show, but it's still really good.
That's fair. I'm looking forward to it. I have to get through.
I'm about halfway through
the three seasons.
I mean, I respect them for trying to do something that, sure. I mean, I haven't seen it yet. That's not more of the same, even though I think that's what everyone wants.
Yes.
You know, and I actually saw a really interesting video of David
Cross.
Yeah. In, you know, wearing the breast form and all that fun stuff. And they were asking him, like, hey, why do you think the show got canceled? And he's, like, screaming at this camera. He's like, listen, we have 5 Emmy Awards, every possible award you can imagine.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not our fault. It's the fucking marketing department. Okay?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's the show got canceled originally, which is kind of sad. But, I mean, I'm happy that it's back. I know a lot of people are excited. But if it's a different format, good for them.
Yeah.
That's the show, right? Always trying to do something different. The one thing I will say, though, as a side note, I watch Archer.
Yes.
Which is awesome. And Judy Greer plays the mother, who is also the mother in this, and now it's hard not, like, the voice.
No, it's not Judy Greer.
Isn't it?
No, it's that you've got the wrong actress.
I'm sorry.
You've got the right person.
Yeah, I apologize. No, that's not her name. You're right. I don't remember her name.
It's not Judy Greer.
That's correct.
Judy Greer was the secretary.
Yes, she's awesome, too.
I can't think of...
I will think of it right now.
But anyway, yes. And there's a lot of great cameos in the show so far. I mean, some cool people show up. So.
Jessica Walter.
Yeah. So
sorry about that, Judy Greer.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out. Please watch it. Don't give up on it just based on the reviews.
Okay.
And hopefully, if you're an Arrested Development fan, you're not stuck in that I only rely on the reviews, and you're capable of critical thought. So
let's talk about reviews.
Yeah,
Fast
exactly.
and the Furious 6.
Yeah.
Or Furious 6. Could be one of the worst movies I've seen in a long time.
But...
And it has fantastic reviews.
Fantastic.
So if you really hate, you know, what am I going to say? Physics?
Yes.
Logic?
Yeah.
Any sort of realism? Animators? Because apparently they fired their CG department.
Right.
Then you'll love this movie. But otherwise, I have no idea why it got good reviews. I cannot tell you. It doesn't make any sense at all. It's pretty bad.
I've heard that.
But don't worry, Fast and Furious 7 is coming out soon.
Yeah,
every single thing The Rock does in the movie is completely unbelievable.
Completely unbelievable.
And not in a good way. Not like, oh my God, that's unbelievable. It's like, really? Really? And it's just really sad.
I'd rather see him go back to making milk commercials.
It doesn't make... I don't want to spoil it for anybody. I kind of do, so
no,
you
spoil
don't spend
go
the money. The whole premise of the movie is Michelle Rodriguez, which is the quintessential I'm a badass but slightly vulnerable character.
Right.
Like that's just what she plays. If you need a cop or badass,
right.
that's her. If you need someone to have a DUI, you're in. Sorry, I apologize. That's,
if you need to just cast a shitty female in a movie, because I hate Michelle Rodriguez.
I don't.
On a personal, I
think
her.
She's fine.
I hate
have you
her.
Met her as a person?
I haven't. No, I hate well, her acting. No, she might be lovely as a person.
I don't know.
I hated her on Lost. I hated her in Avatar. I hated her in, what was the one? There was another where she played like a stupid cop role.
SWAT?
Was it SWAT? Yes. I hate Michelle Rodriguez.
I don't.
I don't like her.
Moving, so I don't have
that
bias.
Okay, but anyway.
The premise of the movie is that she's like the love of Vin Diesel.
Right.
Whoever does the audio, butter smooth voice, very good mixing. It's very difficult to mix that, I can tell you from an audio perspective. She has amnesia. That's the beginning plot of the movie.
Nice.
She has amnesia. Really? Is this Days of Our Lives? Did I stumble into a soap opera? What the
soap opera with really fast cars.
It just doesn't make sense. Yeah. Now, to be fair, the dynamic between all of them, where they bring them all back from all the movies, really well done. The comedic timing is great. The way they work together is really great.
Right.
It's just, you know, there's no plot. There's only 4 sound effects for fights.
Okay.
So apparently this is a Jackie Chan 60s.
Nice.
Bruce Lee came out and just...
So, in conclusion, Scapegoat did not like the movie.
No, I did not like the movie. I don't want to take up any more of your time, but I will say this. Save your money and go see something else.
Something else?
Like Now You See Me or whatever that's called.
It's called Hangover 3.
No, I disagree. That is a meh.
Really?
Movie.
Yeah.
If you expect to see anything related to The Hangover, you will not see that unless the credits end.
I know that I'm in the minority here, but I didn't like the first Hangover. So I have no reason to be on board for the rest of them.
Sure. However, this one is nothing like the first Hangover.
In that it's...
Or Hangover 2, which is a shot-for-shot remake of Hangover 1.
Right.
But in Thailand.
Okay. Well,
this is neither of those things.
Yep.
All right. Well, while we're talking about fast cars...
Yes, let's do that.
Let's talk about another pet peeve of mine.
Okay.
That surrounds Transformers 4.
Oh, God.
Some character
designs... It's being made?
Yeah, it is being made. No, see, now here's... Again, here's where I'm in the weird spot.
You like
Michael
Bay? I
don't hate the Transformers movies. The second one was shite. The first one was good. I liked the first one. The third one was okay. And I'm kind of interested in the fourth one. That being said... There was an image released online today of the new design for Optimus Prime
in
the truck mode,
right.
And all the people that are bitching about it, about the extra flames and the extra tailpipes,
uh-huh.
And they're blaming Michael Bay. Not to defend Michael Bay, because I don't like to defend Michael Bay generally speaking, but you know that wasn't Michael Bay's decision, right? You know that that's Hasbro's decision,
yeah.
Because they need to sell new Optimus Prime figures and
right.
It has to look different.
Yep.
Let's move past that.
Yeah.
We also saw two new Autobots
right.
that appeared online today. One was
Now, why did you air quote them?
Because what it was photos of cars. It was a Corvette Stingray and a Bugatti Grand Sport Matisse.
That's like a $1.7 million car.
Yes. All right. So a couple of different things. First of all, if you're trying
to steal it from Tony Stark?
If you're trying to be a robot in disguise, you probably shouldn't pick such expensive cars. Go with something a little bit more low-key. Just putting it out there.
Like a Toyota Corolla?
That's what I'm saying. Leaf.
But then you won't be able to brake.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I'm tired of Transformer. We've seen new Robot X vehicle mode. That's not fucking we've seen new Robot X. That's we've seen a pretty car on the screen. If you're going to show me a Transformer teaser, show me the robot. Because I don't care about the car at the end of the day. I want to see the robot. I want to see robot mode. So I could criticize that
sure.
if I'm going to criticize something. Otherwise, the car is just a picture of a car.
They should just release a 30-second, I'm sorry, this is Michael Bay, right?
Yeah.
A 4-minute teaser of it transforming.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I mean? So you can see each single gear. I feel bad for the guys at ILM that have to make that work.
That have to make it work?
I don't know. Is there a new really, really attractive girl in this movie?
No.
Because I like the one in 3. What's her name? The blonde chick?
Rose
Huntington-Whiteley.
Yes.
That's what it is.
She's
great.
I think everybody is recasting. I think, is this the one that Mark Wahlberg is in? I think he's going to be
Why?
In.
Why? LaBeouf is out.
He's
right?
out. Yeah, he's
is
out.
He really?
Yeah, yeah, he's out.
Mark Wahlberg, one of the most inconsistent actors on the face of the planet.
No, he's consistently bad.
No, he's good in a couple things.
True.
Really?
The what? Fighter? Is that what it is?
The Fighter?
He was
kind of
good in that.
Even
though Christian Bale took him out.
Yeah, The Town, right? Is that
that's Ben Affleck.
No, it wasn't.
He was not in The Town.
He was in
Departed.
The other
He was good in The Departed.
He was okay in Ted.
Speaking of making fun of Boston.
Yeah, but you know,
it's playing himself as a stoner.
Yeah, exactly, pretty much. Yeah, I also liked him in...
what was the Rock
the
one?
The Happening?
The Rock one?
The
Rockstar?
Rockstar.
Was it called Rockstar?
Yeah, he was all right in that for what it was. It wasn't a great movie, but he was all right in it for what it was.
It's just like you can kind of feel when he's passionate about the project and when, you know, the studio...
When
his agent said, like, listen,
you
got to
do
this. You
got to do this.
Which is, you know, that's not how acting works.
No.
As far as I can tell.
Fair enough.
I liked him in Boogie Nights.
Speaking of The Happening, anyone seeing After Earth? Because... By the way, M. Night Shyamalan's doing it?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Had you shown up last week, we discussed that scapegoat.
No, I have no interest in After Earth.
Yeah.
No. I don't.
It's not going to do well either.
I just think that it was another vehicle for
Will Smith.
Will Smith. And his
I like
son,
Will Smith.
It's Will Smith.
Smith.
But you know what, though? See, I find Will Smith to be very hit and miss. I like Will Smith in a lot of things, but then he does After Earth. And we
haven't seen it yet.
No, but I know.
Did you ever
see
him
like,
in Jersey Girl?
I didn't like...
when you do that for your kid?
I didn't like... what was the
yes.
end of the... What was the Last Man on Earth one?
I Am Legend?
I didn't like I Am Legend.
Sure.
I barely liked iRobot.
I liked iRobot.
I was
It wasn't iRobot, but I liked
it. No, and they're trying to make a sequel to that, too.
Are they really?
Yeah. Oh. The only thing I'm okay with, Ronald D. Moore, who did BSG, which you're watching this summer, is writing that. So maybe maybe not terrible.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not the big, but he is big box office draw. So we'll see.
He is.
We'll see if that's the case. If regardless of what he's in, regardless of who directs it, regardless of everything, if that movie does well, it's simply because Will Smith is a draw.
And there is a breakdown chart of how much money certain actors bring in to each movie. Yeah, it's really interesting. And there's some in the negatives.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. That'll be coming to a MacBook near me.
Near you?
And then you'll find out all about it.
All right. Let's go with the ridiculous news of the week.
Okay.
WWE.
Oh, God. Yabba dabba doo.
That's it. Is producing an animated Flintstones film featuring a supporting cast of wrestlers. So the story is, I believe...
Fred wants to become a professional wrestler in the Stone Age.
Fred, Wilma, Barney, Betty, and the gang will be attending a prehistoric wrestling match.
Of course.
Between dinosaurs?
Featuring characters like Vince Magma, John Cena Stone, and CM Punk Rock, and others.
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
So there you go. I don't think we need to say anything else about that.
No. It's funnier to leave it alone.
Yeah. It's
more realistic than wrestling.
Let it just get soggy in the milk.
Right itself.
Just give it a moment.
All right. How about... Let's see. How about... Well, let's talk about Quicksilver, because I think that's the last real big thing.
Okay.
And the namesake of the episode.
Yes. Actually, before we get to Quicksilver, let's talk about something else Days of Future Past related. Bryan Singer, the man who just cannot stop tweeting photos from the set of the film.
Uh-huh.
Two photos over the last week. One is... of him and Peter Dinklage reading a script. Peter Dinklage supporting a fancy mustache.
Uh-huh.
And then the new photo this week 70s is...
70s stash.
Yeah, the 70s stash.
Porno stash.
And then the new photo that was just today or yesterday, I think, is the... It's behind somebody wearing a jumpsuit that just says Trask Industries. So, of course, it's pretty much all but confirmed that Dinklage is playing Bolivar Trask.
Right.
Of course, which leads us to the Sentinels.
Right.
And... And
about
About time. And how Quicksilver exactly fits into that story, nobody knows.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He doesn't,
well,
right.
How he fits in is because fuck you, Joss Whedon, for saying you're going to use a mutant character in your movie.
Right. So for those of you following this story, Whedon said he was going to use Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, who are longtime Avengers.
Yep.
Of course, before they were Avengers, they were part of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, son and daughter of Magneto.
Yes.
So mutants. So there was that whole conversation. Well, both companies can use it, but Marvel can't say that they're mutants and mention Magneto, and the X-Men can't mention that they're a part of the Avengers and use any of that storyline, blah, blah, blah. And that was it. But everybody knew that Whedon was using them, and there was no intention of using them in an X-Men film. And then all of a sudden, Bryan Singer, I think it was Saturday, tweets a little
hey,
jammy.
Cast Bryan. Yeah. The Quicksilver.
I just cast Evan Peters in the role of Quicksilver. So the first thing Bryan Singer tweeted was before he was an Avenger, Quicksilver was an X-Men or something like that. You would know Evan Peters.
He's from Kick-Ass.
Yeah, and a couple of other things too. I think.
Who was he in Kick-Ass? Is he Kick-Ass?
He's in Kick-Ass too. He's an upcoming.
Oh,
Kick-Ass.
He's not Kick-Ass.
Of course, Bryan Singer quickly deleted that tweet.
Uh-huh.
And then just said...
No, he's in Kick-Ass.
Was he in the first one?
Yeah.
I didn't think that he was.
Oh, is he the friend?
No,
Let me see the photos.
Oh, he's the friend.
He's the not funny friend.
Yes.
You know, he had the two friends, and one of them was the kid with glasses who was hysterical in everything, then there was the other friend.
He's in something else that I feel was significant that I can't recall right now.
Yeah, he is. He's the friend in Kick-Ass who's not funny. I think. Yeah, I think that's him. If Scapegoat would just open up an image and a person can see who's not 3 inches from the screen.
So what Singer says after a litany of backlash amongst the geek community was that he had a specific sequence that he had that was perfect for Quicksilver's abilities. Now, here's the problem. The X-Men movies, love them or hate them, is notorious for this bullshit.
Uh-huh.
For introducing a character for 30 seconds, just a highlight and ability. They did it with Colossus.
Yep.
They did it with
Kitty Pride. In the first one.
They did it with Angel to a certain degree.
He was a little bit more.
He was kind of central to that. But they've done this. I mean, this is...
Wasn't Psylocke in it
for
5 seconds?
This is their jam.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's just a dick move. It's just Fox's way of just dick-smacking Marvel.
Yep.
That's all it is. I'm not convinced that it's anything
ha
other
ha.
Than that.
Ha ha, you can't do X-Men.
Yeah. So, everybody thought, or a lot of people thought, well, this means Whedon's not going to use Quicksilver. He won't do it. He's just going to use Scarlet Witch. Except that, since Singer made his announcement, Whedon's been on Fallon. He's been on a couple of other, handful of other interviews, and he is insisting that both Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch have important roles in Avengers 2, and he's moving forward with them. So I actually hope that he doesn't back down. I hope that he puts Bryan Singer's little prick waving contest to shame.
Well, the
you
other
know what I mean,
yeah, the
like
other
Pinky versus Hulk dick. That's
the,
what I'm thinking.
The other rumor is that they're trying to find a way to bring the franchises together.
I just don't see it
happening. I don't see it happening either, but that's the rumor. And there, you know, and in a recent interview with Hugh Jackman on something, there was some sort of question levied at him about that, and he was like,
I can't talk about that, blah, blah, blah.
I'm from Australia.
Hugh Jackman also said that he thinks that Days of Future Past will be X-Men's Avengers.
Oh, yes?
That's a bold statement, Hugh.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Because it's open ended and doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I just I
because it's funny and directed by Joss Whedon.
Yeah, I maybe he meant financially. I'm not sure what he meant, but I think it's a bold statement.
What it isn't is X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Right.
Hopefully.
No, that's the Wolverine.
That's the Wolverine.
No, I think the Wolverine is going to.
I think it's
very
gonna be really
well.
Yeah, it looks actually. Pretty
by the way,
promising.
Silver Samurai, not a robot, son.
Really?
Not a robot.
Okay. All right.
Just saying.
I haven't read that, but I believe you if you have. He looks surprisingly robotic in that trailer.
Yep.
I'm telling you what I heard.
Okay. Who'd you hear from? Ubiquitous clandestine informant?
That's it.
Okay. Fair
my
enough.
My secret inside sources.
Fair enough.
And it sounded something like this. Yeah, mate. Yeah. Silver Samurai's not a robot, mate. Yeah. I got to go work out.
Work out? We can't be talking about the same person.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He's working out now? Good for him.
I don't think we're talking about now. I don't think we're talking about the same person.
Okay.
Are you thinking of Matt Booker from the UK?
Yes.
No, that was an Australian.
Oh, is that Australia?
Yes.
Oh,
mate, lots of mate in there. Lots of
Booker calls me mate.
Yeah, but it's forget it.
Anyway.
Yep.
That being said,
you know, regional dialect humor is lost on you.
Regional. Australia and England are regions?
That's not a region?
They're countries.
But is it not a
like
region?
Like London and Liverpool is a regional accent.
So
yes,
Chicago
so
and New York are regional
Australia
accents.
Australia is not a region.
No, I'm saying it's a country, continent, and island.
Yeah.
Okay, but not a region.
No.
Okay.
A region is more specific than that as far as I know.
So. I think it's a further breakdown.
Any geographers out there?
Geographers? Yeah. This show?
Geographers?
Demographology?
Bollocks.
There you go. That's a regional diff.
All right. Does anybody else have anything for segment one?
No.
Really quickly, Orphan Black, still really good. You should go watch that if you haven't.
All right. So I'm on episode 6 of Orphan Black. So I'm still behind by 3 episodes, I think.
You are.
And they started to lose me.
What?
It started to lose me with episode 6.
How?
I'm gonna power through.
How could they lose you?
I just found that particular episode just ridiculous.
I don't remember exactly which one you're talking about.
That is
about.
The episode.
Are we
where
about to spoil
literally,
stuff?
Literally, if you haven't seen episode 6, if you're behind as much as I am,
I haven't
this
seen
is a spoiler.
Do you plan on watching it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, there's a lot that happens in that episode.
Yep.
And it just seemed like it was so much all at once that it almost seemed ridiculous.
But I think they only have 10 episodes this season.
I don't want to spoil it for Big
It
Cat.
Was renewed. We'll talk about it in just a moment. And then when the season ends, we'll talk.
We'll talk more about it.
Talk about it in just a moment. Am I leaving?
We'll see.
Oh.
We'll have you do earmuffs.
Earmuffs. Earmuffs, exactly.
Put me on hold while you discuss it.
All right. With that being said.
Yes.
Yes, OG, let's take our first break on this episode, 291 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Whedon. No. The other one. Singer to Whedon, F.U.
bitch, what you don't know about me. I'm just about squeezing the Grand fucking Canyon.
Hey, this is Kevin Smith, Big Kev's love slave.
Did you know I always wanted to be a dancer in Vegas?
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
What do you look so shocked for, man? Fat bastard does this all the time. He thinks just because he don't say anything, it'll have some huge impact when he does open his fucking mouth. Jesus Christ, why don't you shut up?
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 291, Singer to Whedon, F.U. Ha! Thought I'd forget. We had a lengthy discussion over the break, and I still managed to remember.
I thought he was going to forget.
And now I know everything about Orphan Black that I did not want to know.
Well, your earmuffs weren't on tight enough, sir. Anyway.
Yep. Geek stuff. Comics, books, and graphic novels.
Before we actually get into books this week, I have a news thing that I decided to save for this segment. Because this isn't a new book that's out this week.
Breaking news.
It's not really breaking, except to me, apparently. Somehow I missed it, and maybe to you. So in my utter disinterest, I could give a rat's ass.
Something about Marvel?
About the return of Valiant Comics.
Oh.
I somehow missed the fact that they were bringing Quantum and Woody back.
It hasn't happened yet.
It's coming in July.
Yes.
But, a bunch of, cover art was released online today, yes, as well as a four page preview, yes, of issue one.
Uh-huh.
So after reading this, I went back and read the first two issues of Classic Quantum and Woody,
right,
over the past 2 days.
I think I have the trade.
Which is a brilliant book.
Brilliant.
And I think back, now this is what, 97, I think that book first came out.
Wow, is it that long ago?
Yeah, I think
ago?
It's 97.
Holy cow.
The shit they get away with in that book.
Right.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
The racism alone. I mean, the N-bomb at least two or three times in the first two issues.
Now let's talk about why. Original creators of the book?
Yeah.
Both black guys.
I know.
So they
got the card.
Although that book predates this program, I was actually very friendly with the creators of Quantum and Woody and the original stuff. Remember I had the in-action figure of
the goat? Yes.
And
in-action figure.
Yes, they did that awesome sketch in my sketchbook.
Yep. Yeah.
I may have even written something up for one of the previous entities that I was clawing at back in the late 90s, like Big Kev's Critical Toys or some missive thereof.
Quantum and Woody, the humor in Quantum and Woody was almost Deadpool when Deadpool was still good and fresh and original.
And not so over the top.
No. Well, some of it was ridiculous.
What? Of Quantum and Woody?
Yeah.
Yeah, but all funny.
I mean, in the first...
I look at the Deadpool stuff now and I'm just like, oh,
again,
all right.
No, when Deadpool first came out, it wasn't quite as ridiculous as it is now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about the fact that Quantum and Woody is coming back. Except that I read the four-page preview.
Yep.
And it's not Quantum and Woody.
Neither of the creators of the book are working on the relaunch of the book.
Right. So the writer is...
James Asmus.
James Asmus, and the artist is Tom Fowler. I don't mind Tom Fowler's art. The art is fine. But James Asmus is not capturing the humor of the book. Let me set it up for you. The first issue of Quantum and Woody is Quantum and
the
Woody when they were young. Right. The original, 97.
Right.
Is the two characters as children trying to get a dead dog out of one of their father's basements because they had given it Valium because it was barking too much.
Uh-huh.
And they drop it down the stairs like three times. But it's just over the top silliness. And then after that, it's just like, it's just ridiculousness after ridiculousness. The two of them are sitting in full costume, Quantum and Woody costume, talking to a shrink about how they became Quantum and Woody, and there's this whole like back and forth, and it's
hysterical.
It's hysterical. It's really well written.
Great,
it's really smartly written.
Yeah.
None of that comes through in that four-page preview.
No.
Apparently, they're also doing a webcomic with IGN,
which launched today. The first part of that launched today. Now, I have not read the webcomic yet. I saw that that was out, and I will check it out. I am going to check this out when it comes out in July. July is when issue one comes out. I'm hoping
July
that the 10th. Four-page. Thank you. I'm hoping that the four-page preview is not indicative of the whole series, because if you can't capture that humor, then it's just another
two buddy superheroes that are trying to be funny.
Yeah.
That's why I actually knew that this was coming, and I haven't brought it up. I'm kind of glad that you did, but the reason I didn't bring it up is exactly the reason that you did, which was that you saw what they're going to do, and you're worried about it because the original stuff was so great. But how many times have we heard the same story? How many times has the original been something we're so attached to, and then when they do something else, it's like, dreck?
You know what, though? Out of all the Valiant characters that you can bring back...
Was that book Valiant?
It was Valiant, which I don't remember. Because I was only reading a handful of Valiant books. I read Turok. I think I read Bloodshot. I think I read Magnus. I think I read Magnus Robot Fighter. I didn't read Solar. I didn't read Rye.
X-O-Manowar.
I did not read X-O-Manowar, and I did not read Ninjak.
Right.
I know I'm missing probably one. I think that was
maybe
that was the entire run of Valiant Bug.
And at least that I could record. And Quantum and Woody.
Yeah, and Quantum and Woody had 30 issues, I think it was, and a spinoff. There was a goat spinoff, a miniseries, like 2 issues.
I have the trades there.
But
now I kind of want to read this.
It's totally worth reading.
I'll dig it out for you.
Yeah, what's that other one that you're supposed to dig out from Image?
I'll get it for you. Don't worry about it.
Chew? No.
But
I can't remember.
So yeah, so I'm yeah. But why bring this one back? This one was so different from all the other books back then.
Because
why bring it back now if you can't capture?
They want to make a
what
movie.
Made it different.
No, I think it's because they want to show their diversity. They think bringing this back, shows them diversity or shows them being diverse.
Okay.
Because this is not a run of the mill superhero
book.
And the original was so great. Here's my question. Where are the two original creators of this book?
I have no idea.
And why on earth would they not find them?
I don't know.
And, you know, those guys were both really great guys, sure. Really personal guys. I really don't – I honestly don't remember
their names. Remember their names either.
But Christopher Priest and M.D. Brown.
That's it. Yes. Yeah, Priest and Brown. And they were really nice guys. I spent an entire day with them at the shop of Retailer X.
Yes, nice.
Remember I set up that whole thing?
I do.
We had the goat pinata.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. Yeah, we did a whole event at Retailer X's with these guys because I thought the book was fabulous.
It was.
Spectacular. And I couldn't wait for other people to share in the book as well. And it ran for as long as it ran, and then it was gone. They put out a trade at some point thereafter, and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened to Priest. I don't know what happened to Brown. But they what this book needed for a relaunch was the two of them.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Yeah. So I exactly didn't bring it up for the reason that you did, which is that I'm gonna at least get an issue under my belt before I start saying, okay, it may be time to consider Quantum and Woody again. Or it's going to be time to not consider Quantum and Woody, maybe pick up the trade.
Right, right.
At a, I don't know, a Philadelphia Comic Con worth $3.
Which is
$3.
This weekend, by the way.
It is?
Yeah, it's Saturday, Sunday this weekend.
Are we going?
No.
Darn.
And speaking of Valiant, very quickly, and then I want to move into the stuff that actually counts. I think Valiant may have announced today the return of Rye, but I could be wrong.
Bah.
So, there you go.
Well, speaking of returns, it's Batman the Dark Knight, number one.
The annual, number one,
yes.
Correct? Yeah.
Art, it's Greg Hurwitz, and, I mean, for God's sake, is there no English person doing art anymore?
Zimon Kudrunsky.
There you go.
Featuring the Mad Hatter, the Penguin, and the Scarecrow. It looks like a wild book. The art isn't bad, but usually with these things is they're trying to break... Somehow they're trying to break a new artist by giving him an annual to do.
Right.
I don't know that this guy... I don't know that this guy really has the stuff for a regular... I don't think this is the kind of art I would like to see in a regular series. I mean, some of the stuff looks really nice, but, I mean, overall, I don't like it very much.
Okay.
I also picked up Captain America number 7.
Is that it?
What do you mean?
Those are your only two books you picked up this week?
Yeah, did I miss something?
Red Hood and the Outlaws, annual number 1, came out this week also.
Wasn't at Retailer X's place.
Well, it came out today.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% positive.
Oh, boy.
Because I started reading it already.
Oh, boy.
Let me go to my Retailer Y real quick.
Captain America issue 7, of course, has come out, and it's still the Cap in the Other Universe thing. It's great stuff. Friend of the show, John Romita Jr., who they're now listing as just John Romita? Is that possible? Or?
We've noticed this a couple times now.
Yeah,
we've
it's John Romita this. Jr.
Yeah.
Rick Remender is the writer, And Claus Janssen did ink on this.
Nice.
Wow, remember Claus Janssen?
I do remember Claus Janssen.
So this book actually still pretty great, still pretty bizarro land, but it's pretty right. good. So check that out. And that's the only two I got. What did you say, Red Hood and the Outlaws?
Annual number one came out.
Wow.
Two of the books that I want to mention, because I picked up The Dark Knight and I picked up Red Hood. But the other two books I want to mention real quick. First is X-Men number one. So this is the all-female X-Men book.
Yes.
That came out.
I was looking at picking that up.
But... I read it. It's okay. It's interesting. The story's okay. I mean, I think they're overhyping the fact that it's an all-female cast. I mean, yeah, right. it is an all-female cast, but I don't necessarily know that that's the selling point on the book. The book just seems like it's a halfway decent book, and the characters are interesting, and the story might be interesting.
How's Uncanny?
I've been liking Uncanny, but not as much as Legacy. Legacy is the one I've been really digging.
Okay.
Also out this week from Vertigo is Wake, number one.
Yeah, that looked really interesting.
This is writer Scott Snyder, who, God, you know by now if you've heard anything, if you've ever listened to this show, and artist Sean Murphy. I was a little weary about this one, because Snyder, I really liked Batman, obviously. I really liked American Vampire. I did not like Severed. And Severed was his, like, horror book that he did, and Wake is sort of being touted as a horror book also. I'm just going to read you a quick synopsis. There's something down there. When marine biologist Lee Archer is approached by the Department of Homeland Security for help with a new threat, she declines, but quickly realizes they won't take no for an answer. Soon she is plunging to the depths of the Arctic Circle to a secret underwater oil rig where they've discovered something miraculous and terrifying. It's really kind of like sci-fi horror thriller, based on what I read in the first issue.
Sounds like a sci-fi movie.
And it was good. Yes, it does.
No, sci-fi like the channel.
Yeah.
It's a 10-issue series. Have you mentioned that already?
I did not mention that book.
10-issue series, Scott Snyder and Sean Murphy. Yeah, actually, it looks pretty good. I'm looking at a promo image here. And yeah, and from your description also, I can't wait to read that via Trader Waitering.
Speaking of sci-fi movies, last week we talked about Sharktopus, Octocrocodile. I can't remember. I don't remember.
You did it twice last week.
Shark Piranha, Octocrocodile. So one of our listeners was listening to the episode and decided that Shark Piranha, Octocrocodile had to be brought to life.
Okay. What is that?
Shark Piranha, Octocrocodile.
That's awesome.
That is pretty funny. That's are we going to awesome, post right? that?
Yeah, I'll post it online. Of course, this is George Vega. We talk about his books a lot when they come out from Vegamation Press.
Yeah.
So he's a swell cat and a talented artist. You should definitely check out his work.
So we're calling it Vegamation and not Vegamation anymore?
Yes. And I will post the Shark Piranha Octocrocodile to
Vegamation
the
Press.
All right. You have a trade, I'm presuming.
I do. So you didn't have any other books?
I did not. There was a couple other things, but Savage Wolverine number 5, but...
Okay. What I have here is Star Wars Omnibus Wild Space number 1.
Lovely.
So in tradition of Dark Horse releasing every bit of Star Wars...
Didn't the last book have something printed from cereal boxes or something?
That's actually this one, too. Okay, well, yeah, this is actually... I'm going to read you the gray matter. Now, normally with these books, we would go over what they are including.
Right.
There's so much in this,
yeah, we're not
it
doing
would
it.
Take up too much time. So I'm just going to read the back of the box. This Wild Omnibus features rare and previously uncollected stories from UK publications, toy pack-ins, cereal boxes, Star Wars Kids magazine, and even issues that were originally published in 3D.
Oh, lovely.
A treasure trove of unexpected gems for the casual Star Wars fan and a completist dream. This volume contains work from some of comics' most famous writers and artists, including Alan Moore.
Ooh-wee!
Chris Claremont, Archie Goodwin, Walt Simonson, and Alan Davis, plus stories featuring the greatest heroes and villains of Star Wars, stories you never knew existed that you can't live without.
Loverly.
Please buy me.
It's $24.99 in the U.S. Again, Dark Horse making this type of thing really affordable for everyone, which is really great. Over 450 pages.
That's a lot of pages.
Of Star Wars stories and collected things. Some black and white, some color, some ridiculous, some awesome. And I think everybody's going to have a good time, so they should check it out. Star Wars Omnibus Wild Space Volume 1, which means there could possibly be a Volume 2,
ooh,
which I can't imagine just from the sheer volume of the stuff that's in here.
They'll dig it up from somewhere.
Amazing.
scribbled on the,
I know,
the toe of someone's, yeah, Converse sneaker.
Exactly. Just take a photo.
Just taking off Happy
tattoos.
Meal, taking off Happy Meal packages from years of Happy Meal toys.
Just all Star Wars, just an all Star Wars story created entirely by using the images of Star Wars tattoos on people. That would be amazing.
Unbelievable.
You can do like a story that way. That would be awesome.
Sure. Isn't that pictogram? Isn't that what that's called? Sort of. Yeah, right.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Duped.
Yes, sir.
I got two. How many you got? OG?
I got zero.
Oh,
this
good.
Week.
So one of us is doing prep. From DC Comics.
You had good news this week. Right?
I did. Have something for this segment.
Oh, yeah?
But I'll do it after that.
DC Comics. Now, this is actually... Is this from DC Collectibles?
That is Mattel, I believe.
No, sir. It is... Yeah, it's Mattel, but it has DC Collectibles all over it, too, which is weird. This is Injustice the Joker.
Yes.
From the Injustice action figure line, 6-inch action figure line.
These are really nice.
Yeah, they're really nice, but...
Where's the Green Arrow?
Hasn't happened yet. Maybe he's on the list, and hopefully he'll be better than this Joker.
Far more significant to the storyline than the Joker. I'm just saying.
The Joker figure...
Really? I like that figure.
I think he's really... I don't know. He's kind of simple and plain and thin, and his entire torso seems like one giant molded piece, and it looks exactly like that. You see what I mean?
Yeah, it kind of looks flat.
I kind of like the head sculpt is really nice.
It looks like he's got a point of articulation at the waist, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just kind of hidden by the jacket. But, I don't know. I still like it. I do like the head sculpt. I like the hair on it. I like the sculpt on the jacket, too.
Yeah,
I like the design of it.
I don't know what's bugging me so much about these Injustice figures. The fact that they're, like, maybe not heroically proportioned, which would never be the case for the Joker, so I'm obviously referring to other characters.
Right.
That have come out thus far, like Batman. Superman is actually pictured on the back here. Not the figure, but just some promo art for it. And I don't know. I really don't know what's bugging me about the design of this, but I'm not really behind this one. And there's also, and I get it, it's a fighting game and they don't have anything. It'd be really unlikely that the Joker would just be straight up fighting you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
like fisticuffs. Like he'd have some kind of crowbar or something.
Yeah, I mean, in the game, in the story mode of the game, he doesn't have anything.
No, I get
that. In the fighting aspect of the game, he does, so.
Right.
Real quick, and I teased this earlier before we move on to that last thing. Kid Robot and Marvel have teamed up for a series of Marvel-related monies.
Right.
And Labbits also. Mm-hmm. So the Frank Cosette Labbit platform.
That's a smoking rabbit.
That's a smoking rabbit.
Everyone's like, what is that smoking rabbit? Who smokes?
Labbit.
But the monies are kind of interesting. They're pretty much solid color monies, the generic money form.
Right.
And then each one comes with stickers, accessories, so that you could do what you want to it. And then, of course, you can obviously paint and design on it.
Sure.
So what I find interesting about this is so many guys out there are doing their own Marvel monies.
Right.
And we've talked about guys who do comic-related stuff on the show before. Uh-huh. And now Kid Robot and Marvel are kind of doing this. Of course, this doesn't detract from them in any capacity.
Are we announcing...
you can only do so much with stickers. But
right.
Are we announcing our contest?
Maybe we should wait for the product to actually come out.
But I'm so excited about this contest. It's the create a maggot from the monies.
I'm trying to think.
Contest.
Is there a blue one? I think there is a blue one. So you'd have to use a blue body because the body should be purple.
No. You should not be clued people in on what they should be doing, sir.
All right.
So that's the contest. Create maggot. This is a do-it-your DIY project for you creative types out there. He who creates the best maggot
gets to keep their own sculpt.
Boom.
With a prize like that, how could you not enter?
I think we should do that as a prize. We haven't done any creative contests on the show
in a while.
Some time. Yeah.
In a long time. I think the Boba Fett one might have been the last one.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, we gave that thing away, but, you know.
Did we? Did we select a winner for that thing?
No.
Oh, well, isn't
we'll
that today?
No, we'll get there.
Oh, okay.
Contest ends today. It doesn't mean we pick
but
the
I don't want to shortchange
no,
in
let's,
any
let's
way
move
this,
on to that.
This piece that we've been waiting for forever. From our friends over at Kotobukiya.
Is that racist?
No.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Why is it racist?
I don't know if you were allowed to.
You ever seen
Martin
Yan?
Are you allowed to do Asian guy voice? Is that Yan King Cook?
Yan King Cook.
And so can you.
Scapegoat.
Punt a blue team.
So Scapegoat and I were discussing, he was recently on Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Right.
Martin Yan, right? And he talks really normal, like the two contestants bring him a dish, and he's like, I really like the flavor profile, and I think it's really great, the use of the noodle, and blah, blah, blah. And then he totally goes completely character.
A point, a blue team! It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So me going, Kotobukiya is not in any way racist. In fact, it is a badge of honor that I think so highly of this company that I choose to stress their name.
Sure.
In the way that I do.
Now, is that a regional thing?
Really? Gonna hop right on? Gonna pile right on there.
Sorry. I really love this.
Is her name Jaina Solo?
Yes.
Is that?
It's a regional dialect. The artifacts. Now, this is listed as an artifacts piece, but I thought this
But it's also part of the Bijouju line.
Bijouju.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say Bijouju on here anywhere.
Okay, it might not say it on there, but I would say...
I would agree.
I would say...
Right.
As a not-spokesperson for Kotobukiya...
Right.
This is a Bijouju... Because it looks nothing like any of the other artifacts pieces.
That's absolutely true. And this is...
It looks like the Bijouju pieces.
It does. That said, though, there have been no human artifacts pieces in this scale.
In that scale.
Right. There have been mostly armored... Like troopers,
but there's been a Luke in one of the other
From Clone Wars. There was Ben and Anakin,
right.
And you know, but there was not. But they were like stylized for animation. This is definitely stylized in the Bijouju style, and it's Jaina Solo.
Right.
As she appears somewhere in the future. I'm not sure where the design comes from, and I don't care very much either because it's great. She's in a Rebel pilot's uniform. You know, the orange jumpsuit and the very familiar helmet with the symbols on top. She's holding the vest portion of it in her hand, and she also has a lightsaber, which I presume to be hers, in her hand. And
did she have the Force? Oh, yeah, I guess she would have been Force sensitive, right?
Totally.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, in fact... Yeah, completely. She's actually, I think, the heroine that sort of pops out for 11, 12, and 13 is what I think.
Okay.
Right? Or 10, 11, 12? 10, 11, 12.
10, 11, 12.
Yeah, because the two trilogies that they said they're going to do, the first of which would
be... They're doing two trilogies?
7, 8, and 9.
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
And standalone movies.
I thought they were doing 7, 8, 9, and then standalones in between.
Scapegoat, when you miss a week... You miss a lot.
No, he wasn't even part of the show.
Shut up. When you miss a week, Scapegoat, you miss a lot. That's
like 7 years? I missed 7 years in a week.
No, we didn't even get to do that joke yet. I'm looking at the gray matter here to see if I can tell where they might have got some of the aspiration for this. Oh, gee, can you put the show on hold for a second? So thank you for that. Actually, I decided that some of this was really important that I wanted to share. First up in the new Star Wars series is Ace Pilot Jedi Warrior Daughter. This is the gray matter from the box. Daughter of Han Solo and Princess Leia Organa, Jaina Solo. One of the most popular characters in the expanded universe, Jaina has appeared in numerous novels and comic books that take place after the events of Return of the Jedi. Now comes to you in the fantastic Bijouju. There it is. Statue based on an illustration by master Japanese illustrator Shunya Yamashita. I'm not familiar with
Shunya Yamashita.
Shunya Yamashita.
Neither
am I. But let me tell you, if this is the quality of his or her work, then they are amazing. A skilled pilot who became a member of the illustrious New Republic Rogue Squadron at the age of 18, Jaina Solo strikes a casual pose in her iconic orange flight suit, same outfit worn by pilots for generations, including Luke Skywalker in the Battle of Yavin. But the pretty young Jedi puts her own spin on the uniform, wearing it stripped down to the waist. Hold on to your hats, fellas. to reveal her tank top. Meanwhile, Jaina holds her helmet in one hand and her flight vest and lightsaber in the other. Like all Bijouju statues, the cute Jedi has an incredible sculpt. I agree with that. With intricate outfit details like folds and straps. The highlight is, of course, Jaina's beautiful Bijouju-inspired face. I also agree with that. Standing 9 inches tall, that's 1/7 scale for you guys paying attention, on a special display base incorporating the Rogue Squadron emblem, not only is Jaina the first Star Wars Artifacts Bijouju statue, she's also the first expanded universe character brought to life by Kotobu Kiya. She looks great on her own. She'll make a perfect addition to any Star Wars or Bijouju collection. Absolutely true. So I think Kotobu Kiya has really captured, first of all, a really unique character, but I think in their gray matter, I think they've really captured what the statue is all about. And it's the first time any Star Wars character statue has been done in the Bijouju style. I think they picked a great choice. They're right. Their description on the back is accurate with regards to the detail, the beautiful Bijouju style face, the way that she wears the uniform and everything else. And I think, like we've been saying for years, that Kotobu Kiya is making great Star Wars collectibles. Great Star Wars collectibles. And this one is no different.
Sure.
9 inches tall. A really great, great tribute in a Japanese way to Star Wars. And I think everybody should check it out. Now, we waited a really long time, unfortunately, until we were able to get a hold of one of these. But that said, it was worth, I think it's well worth the wait. Terrific, terrific work by Kotobu Kiya. And as always, we are really proud when we're able to talk about such great products, especially when they come from a great company like Kotobu Kiya.
Something we forgot to bring up in the news, but we should bring up while we're talking about Star Wars.
Do you have anything to say about the statue?
No, I agree with you 100%. Okay. I said that. I love Kodo.
I just thought maybe
I have a bunch of Kodo in my collection.
I know. There's a bunch of Kodo in the studio, but yeah. That, I wanted to make sure that if you wanted to say anything about it.
I love Kodo. I think they did a fantastic job. I like the statue. I think it's interesting that they decided to go Bijouju with Star Wars.
And expanded universe.
And expanded universe.
They could have went the easy route. They could have went right to Slave Leia, right. Which is what, you know, I think would be the kind of the easy choice. Like, for example, if you took Khan and made him the second Star Trek movie when you're rebooting the series. I'm just saying. They could have made the easy choice and went right to Slave Leia. But I think they made it not only an interesting choice, but then the results are really, really great as well. Scapegoat, comment?
No, I agree. It's a really interesting sculpt. I like the style in general on that character. I haven't seen much art on the character outside of this. I looked it up a little
bit.
True. But it's a really interesting interpretation. And I think, you know, that's the style, of course, is a little anime-inspired, if you will.
Yeah, totally.
The definition of it. So I'm a big fan. I'd pick one up. Where can I get that?
You can get it. Probably at this point, you'd probably have to be looking second market. I'm sure some collector stores probably still have it.
Superpower Collectibles might even have it.
Do they have it?
I haven't been able to check their site, but we will check it.
They might have it.
You're welcome.
And then I want to say, I just want to tack this on. Scapegoat and another new production member of the program showing me Cowboy Bebop.
Yes.
I like it.
Good. I'm proud of you.
It's good.
Some of our listeners who are anime great fans theme. Would also be proud of you as well.
I know.
Sure.
Great theme song and strikingly similar to the Archer theme song.
Oh,
it
okay.
just occurred to me watching it back
and
back.
And not without its similarities to Firefly.
I've been told this
Firefly
many times.
Similarities to Cowboy Bebop. Let's just be clear on that one.
I've been told this many times.
But speaking of Star Wars, yeah, I just wanted to bring it up really quickly. There is a Lego Star Wars, The Yoda Chronicles, a non-canon three-part animated series is coming out tonight.
It's only three-part? I thought it was a whole new show.
It's a three-part series.
Cartoon Network, May 29th. So May 29th, check it out. It was written by Michael Price.
Right.
Who wrote the other Lego Star Wars stuff. So if you're interested in it.
There was a big push on this.
It's set in the prequel timeline. Yeah. In case you're wondering, so
there was a big push on this on May the 4th with the release at Toys R Us. They actually gave out a little ship.
Yes,
had to do with the Yoda Chronicles.
We talked about
and
that.
A little comic and
yes.
a little bag. Yeah, and, I mean, it was a whole bunch of Yoda Chronicles stuff that was kind of all together there on May the 4th.
Good on Star Wars and Lego. Good on them
making the most of their relationship.
Got to do what you got to do.
Yes, sir.
Cha-ching.
And with that,
OG, we'll take our final break, and we'll be right back with the wrap-up. The very, very famous and popular portion of the program.
Nope.
Episode 291, Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Wait, I know it. It's Singer to Whedon, F you.
Hey, this is Rob Paulson, better known as Pinky.
And Maurice LaMarche, better known as The Brain. Yes. And you are listening to Big Kev's
Geek Stuff.
Narf. Quiet, Pinky, I shall have to hurt you.
The Pinky and the Brain.
Narf.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 291, Singer to Whedon, F U.
It's amazing that you are having an easier time remembering the episode title than I am.
It happens on occasion.
We're kind of getting into the too darn hot sort of era of the year.
Well, this is a bit weird, this weather, because it was like 30 last week and I had my heat on, and then tomorrow it's going to be 95. So
I don't understand. And yesterday and the day before, fantastic,
perfect
weather.
Perfect weather.
Rainy.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And before the rain and stuff, let's say a week ago, my grass was 3 inches high.
Yeah.
Now my grass, 2.5 feet. I measured it.
Perhaps you should cut it.
So. Yeah, perhaps. Had I a vehicle which to do that with,
I
probably would.
Oh, a vehicle. All of us with our old school clippers and whatnot.
You're going to get one of them ones that just kind of roll.
Hold on there, OG. I have an acre scapegoat. You can push a mower around an acre if you want. I prefer to sit aboard one.
You know what?
Drive
I will mow your lawn
uh-huh.
with just hedge trimmers.
Yes.
If you do Big Kev Eat Stuff.
I'd be glad to do that.
All right, because I'm already a head start.
I know.
I didn't show up last week because I made scapegoat eat stuff.
Nice.
Starting with Samoas.
Nice.
It's the end of the season, but anyone go out there, Girl Scout cookies, fantastic.
You're going to be releasing that on YouTube?
Coconut caramel, really great blend, one of my personal favorites.
Scapegoat eat stuff is actually a feature of Big Kev Eat Stuff.
Oh, is it?
That doesn't count.
It will be. That's what's the first feature we're releasing.
There's a lot of things that are supposed to be features.
Yeah.
Of something that doesn't exist.
even this program, sir, they said it couldn't be done, and here we are 17 years later.
That's right. And yet I distinctly remember Eat Stuff. Is that season one of this show?
It couldn't be season one.
I think it might be.
I think that's one of the first Road to 300.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
oh, crud. I really wanted to
what
put
are you
one
do
of
without
together
me?
This week.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. You want to produce it for next week? Go.
Ooh.
Oh, but
got to give me the archives. Got to give me the archives.
You have access to the archives.
I think we should crowdsource this guy. That's what I'm thinking. Put that together as a contest.
There you go.
That would be certainly interesting.
It would be,
certainly.
Right?
You know, we actually have had some listeners suggest specific bits.
Oh, they have? So, what have they suggested?
Yeah. I don't have them in front of me.
Oh,
so
okay.
We will compile them. But
yeah, I definitely want to do some sort of thing like that.
But let's move on with the wrap-up.
Yes.
Absolutely. But before we get to the wrap-up, Superpower Collectibles.
Superpower Collectibles.
Superpowercollectibles.com for all of your geeky goodness. Plenty of products over there that every one of you will want, should want, and you should check it out. Of course, there is a coupon code.
It is, and that code is Big Kev. And what it gets you, OG, is spectacular, stunning.
Absolutely ravishing.
It gets you $10 off any order of $50 or more. And for orders over $100, you get free shipping.
On select items.
Boom.
On select items. Yes, we have to put that in now.
Right.
That's right. So if you order like a 200-pound thing,
that ain't free.
It may be reduced in some way. Right. $1,000 or more at Superpower Collectibles. Meet and greet with. We had to phrase it differently. Meet and greet with Scapegoat.
Nice.
The greet
corn
is
boy,
a little vague.
I'm talking to you, corn boy.
Put your money where your mouth is. How do we follow up with that?
I'm a big fan of Scapegoat.
I know he is.
I think he might want a meet and greet.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you ever notice that everyone we know has a secret name? You know, like a code name?
Because we're all still big kids at heart.
I don't know what made me think of that. I think calling out Cornboy is what did it.
I think we're all agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
See, that's it.
Hey,
we're all agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Look.
My special ability? Drink.
That's your special ability?
That's my power.
Really?
Yep. With the special ability to blackout.
Yes. No, puke.
No. OG's special ability is Chuck. His alter ego when he drinks.
Wow. All
right.
Oh, I will tell you stories of the blush wine, my friend.
Let's move forward.
A hot tub and some blush wine. It's a whole nother party.
Wow.
Let us move forward.
Let us.
Sure, now. OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Well, of course, we talked about Arrested Development Season 4.
Indeed.
Superman Unbound. Mm-hmm. The Flash Paradox, right? Man of Steel.
Flashpoint Paradox,
yeah. We talked about the Man of Steel trailer.
Yep.
We talked about Bolivar Trask and Quicksilver.
Bolivar, super 70s porn star, yeah. Midget.
We also talked about the new Autobots, which are really just fucking cars, as far as I'm concerned at this point. What else? Oh, and the WWE Flintstones movie.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. WWE Flintstones movie.
Rest in peace. Undertaker not doing a voice?
Tombstone. They could work that in.
See?
Right? They could work that into Flintstones.
That's what I'm
somehow
saying.
There's a way.
I always wanted those ribs.
The ribs?
You know what I'm talking about?
The giant ribs they put on the side
of
the car.
The brontosaurus ribs.
Yeah. Those would be delicious.
You
know, they talk to those brontosauruses, and yet they still serve the brontosaurus ribs. How the hell did that work?
Not being hypocritical.
That's
interesting. I guess.
Well, they had an elephant for a vacuum cleaner. There really wasn't a whole lot of fun. Yeah.
Nor was there equality.
So. No, certainly there was no.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
He also used clams. Was it clams as currency?
Yeah.
Currency, right? Wasn't it clams? Anyway, we're totally off point.
Okay.
In segment two of tonight's show,
yes,
we talked about comic books. Of course, we talked about the return of Quantum and Woody.
Uh-huh.
Was in there, and then we talked about Wake number one. X-Men number one,
Dark Knight Annual number one, and Captain America number seven,
and Red Hood and the Outlaws Annual number one,
which I still haven't gotten a response from retailer.
It's out, so I don't know why you didn't get it.
Did you get it?
Yes.
Oh,
I've already begun reading.
That's weird. Star Wars Omnibus Wild Space Volume One, over 450 pages from Dark Horse, $25, and it's all kind of Star Wars stuff that you can't even imagine. Shit you may never have seen and probably would never have seen were it not for the great people over at Dark Horse.
And of course, in product this evening, I talked about the Kid Robot Marvel Money collaboration things that's going on.
And we put out our Create a Maggot.
That's right.
Contest, prize to be named later. I also talked about the Injustice the Joker action figure. I wasn't a big fan, I have to say, but the style on this and the design on this line and the game really hasn't really grabbed me. So,
okay.
I mean, that's just my opinion. And lastly, the great Kotobukiya Jaina Solo Bishoujou 1/7 scale pre-painted model kit is what they're calling it on the box. Absolutely terrific piece, done in the Bijouju style. They didn't take the easy road. They took an expanded universe character, not only an expanded universe character, but an important one, and probably going to be a very important
one.
So check that out from Kotobukiya. We have some images up at the site. If you're a fan at all, you should definitely get a hold of this as soon as you can, because I think once they announce that Jaina is probably going to be key in these new movies, this is going to fly even faster than it already flipped.
Don't forget.
Keeping you up, OG?
I don't know. Sorry. I had a moment of something. Brain fart. Everything shut down there. I had a reboot.
What are you,
terrible.
What are you, George from Toy Brain?
Or your computer?
Yeah, I'm just dying over here. It's the heat. The heat's starting to get me.
There you go.
No time for that one yet.
It's almost. Don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where, of course, we have all of our episodes, YouTube videos. We have some, the blog section of the site is working,
yes,
so we are posting some stuff over there as well. Of course, thank you for those of you checking that stuff out, commenting and all that stuff. Don't forget, you check us out at our Amazon sponsor. Thank you again for all of you continuing to use that.
Yes.
Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff, at BKGeekStuff on Twitter, at GeekStuffOG on Twitter, and at
Scapegoat GS,
who never uses it, but maybe he
will
one
be
day.
Used. It
he's
will be used.
He's doing his Twee views of
Free Comic Book
Day,
which will reach into next year's Free Comic Book Day.
Tinkerbell one was very riveting.
Thank you.
Was it?
It was riveting.
Yeah, I haven't read it.
You have 140 characters.
Oh no, I'm
to be riveted.
It was very poignant. Why referring to your children?
Scapegoat, why have you not finished this assignment?
It's a lot of work.
I think you need to finish the assignment.
Well, triple digits. Let's do it. 300.
You're asking a lot of the people.
I am.
You're asking them to follow you on blind faith.
You know what? Sometimes that's what it takes.
All right.
Yep.
So that all being said,
we got one other thing.
What?
Do you want to reach out to the show?
Oh, that's right. We did not mention that all episode.
Wow. You know what I mean? Do you want to reach out to the show? Give some comments, some feedback, some questions, things you want to hear, whatever it may be, reach out.
Positive feedback in the moment?
Positive in the moment, specific feedback. We're going to call it the GVM.
That's right.
That is. It is 425-920-6050. Please reach out. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll talk about it. Next week.
And if you leave us something interesting, you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's all I got.
But this is your part now.
Oh.
You always yell at me for screwing. This is you.
The formula.
The formula.
I see. And with that, OG, I will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close, as we bring all episodes to a close by saying, good night, Rose Leslie. Wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.